Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. Today is Friday, June 5th. We are here in Lansing. It's a pretty day outside. I hope it is where you are as well. I am, of course, joined today by Dr. Janae Khaldoun, our Chief Medical Executive, Sean Egan, and you'll know why in a moment. Larissa Draves, the Executive Director of Michigan Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Megan DeWint from Crooked Tree Arts Center in Petoskey. Yesterday, I participated in a unity march in Detroit. It was hosted by ecumenical leaders of many faiths, including Muslim and Christian, Jewish faith leaders who came together to acknowledge the pain that has been felt by so many across our country right now. As you know, George Floyd was laid to rest yesterday, and it was an important moment to come together. The Lieutenant Governor and I were glad to walk the 2 miles from Highland Park to Wayne State's campus in Detroit with Mayor Duggan, legislators, city council members, members of the judiciary, members of law enforcement, including the Colonel of the Michigan State Police, members from the Sheriff's Department in Wayne County, members of the Detroit Police Department, as well as Wayne State University Police Department, and most importantly, the women and men and kids we all serve. I believe every American with a platform has a responsibility to use it right now for the righteous cause of ensuring that all Americans are fully protected and respected by our system of justice. We are fighting for a just system for everyone in this country. On Tuesday, I delivered remote testimony before the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations with regard to Michigan's efforts to combat COVID-19. I was joined by two other governors, and because we have taken such an aggressive tack at taking this virus on, we needed to tell the story about what was happening here in Michigan, and it was an honor to be invited to tell the story. We know that our efforts are working here in Michigan. We have built up our stores of PPE. We have seen declining cases as well as declining deaths. We have ramped up our testing and tracing capacities. And because of that, we're able to keep moving forward. And that is a tribute to the vast majority of people in the state who've taken this seriously and done your part. The two most crucial things the federal government can do right now, which is what I testified about, were developing a widespread national testing strategy and to ensure support and flexibility for states facing budget shortfalls during this crisis. Widespread testing is one of the most important tools that we will have moving forward in lieu of a vaccine or cure. It will help us to protect our families through testing and the dedicated heroes who've been on the front lines throughout this crisis. And we can't do it alone. That's why the federal government really needs to help us get more people tested and ensure that people understand how simple and easy it is to get that test done. That's how we continue to make progress here in Michigan and across our country. And it's how we continue to save lives. Last month, I signed an executive directive to appoint a COVID-19 workplace safety within the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity. We're now going to get back to business, but it's going to be not business as usual. It's going to look a little bit different because we still have to figure out how to live with COVID-19 and to do it well. So today I'm proud to announce that Sean Egan, the Deputy Director for Labor at LEO, will fill that position with regard to COVID-19 and getting back to work. Sean has spent his career helping working families in Michigan, and I'm confident that he will continue to do everything to protect workers and their families from the spread of COVID-19 as we more fully re-engage sectors of our economy. He will be responsible for helping to ensure that as business across the state reopens under the My Safe Start plan, they enact strict safety measures to protect the health and safety of their employees and their customers, which extends to all of our families. This work is going to be crucial in helping us lower the chance of a second wave to protect the brave men and women serving on the front lines of this crisis and so that we can save lives and shorten the amount of time which we have to deal with the economic fallout from what COVID-19 has been for our country. Earlier this week, I announced that the entire state would move into phase 4 of the Michigan State My Safe Start plan on Monday. Today, I sign in executive orders that reopen more regions and sectors of our economy. Because of the good news, people taking this seriously, we're able to keep moving forward. So starting on June 10th, regions 6 and 8, which covers the Upper Peninsula and Traverse City, will advance to Phase 5 under the My Safe Start plan. Phase 5 allows for the reopening of salons and movie theaters and gyms, subject, of course, to the strict safety protocols and procedures designed to minimize the spread of COVID-19. So now is the time, if our business owners in these parts of our economy are not familiar with the protocols, to get up to speed on them and just so that you can be ready when June 10th comes around. So this is good news. It's another positive sign that we're ready to move our economy forward safely and responsibly. And here's what it means in Regions 6 and 8. Indoor gatherings of up to 50 people and outdoor gatherings of up to 250 people are permitted, so long as people are able to follow those social distancing guidelines. Outdoor performance and sporting venues will be open with a larger capacity limit of 500, so long as they can continue to observe those safety guidelines. So that means some of the graduation ceremonies. We'll have to think about it in a new way if it was supposed to be over 500, but we can start to think about and start to plan for that. Outdoor performance and sporting venues will be open for larger capacity limit of this 500, and that is great news. Personal care services, including hair and nail salons, tattoo parlors, and tanning salons, as well as exercise facilities, may open. So, that's right, you can get a haircut. And I know that some of my comments the other day about Googling it were taken as not in the way that I intended, and I apologize for that. I think that this is an important profession. I know everyone's eager to be able to get back to work, and customers are eager to get back there too. So personal care, that's a great step forward in Region 6 and 8. We've got to adopt the strict safety measures to protect employees and clients and their families and to keep the spread from happening. That means marking waiting rooms to enable 6 feet of social distancing as people wait, adding special hours for highly vulnerable patients, including the elderly and those with chronic conditions, requiring that employees make proper use of PPE. That means wearing the mask over your nose and mouth. Requiring patients to wear a face covering when they are in the facility and employees and clients and more. And to understand more about that, you should go online so that you can avail yourself of all the information so you can stay safe as you reengage. All these businesses must make it a habit to sanitize equipment regularly used by customers. Other businesses may open include convention centers, performance spaces, and movie theaters. So these indoor facilities must limit the number of people in the venue to 25% of maximum capacity or 250, whichever is smaller, and enable people to maintain 6 feet of distance from one another at all times if you're not a group that has come together. So a family doesn't all have to be 6 feet apart, but you need to be 6 feet apart from everyone else. Also, this is another good piece of news. June 15th. Today's order will allow personal services, including hair, massage, nails, tattoo, to reopen statewide on June 15th. All regions except 4, 6, and 8 will remain in phase 4 for now. So that's all those other regions, but we are going to move into the personal services space. But if the current trajectory continues, I do anticipate that in a few weeks the whole state will be in region, or will be in phase 5. That is my fervent hope. That's always been our goal, to safely re-engage. So please do not drop your guard now. Because of the hard work and sacrifice that we've made, we're now able to make this re-engagement happen. So get ready, but stay vigilant. As always, you can find a full list of businesses that may open in the full executive order at michigan.gov/coronavirus. Today, I'm also pleased to announce that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved the extension of additional food assistance for 350,000 Michiganders through June. Michigan was previously approved for the additional food assistance for March, April, and May, but this extension will help us put nutritious food on the table for hundreds of thousands of people in our state for an additional month as we battle COVID-19. Households that are eligible for the food assistance program will receive these benefits in June and bring all current SNAP cases to the maximum monthly allowance. Eligible families do not need to reapply to receive this additional benefit. People who receive food assistance can check their balance, the benefits balance, on the Michigan Bridge Card by going online to michigan.gov/MIBridges or calling a customer service representative toll-free at 888-678-8914. So here's the bottom line, Michigan. The sacrifice that we've made is paying off. When you look at how we compare to the rest of the nation, we can see that this was a virus that has hit us aggressively. We've had a uniquely tough time with COVID-19. We took the steps we needed to start to save lives and build up our PPE and our testing capabilities. But COVID-19 is still very present here in Michigan. And that's why it's on all of us to keep doing our part. It's not just about us as individuals. It's about our economy. It's about our state. It's about our loved ones. And so as we continue to move forward, recall that we are still in this. We are in this together. And if everyone continues to do their part, we will continue moving forward together. With that, let's stay focused, let's stay smart, and let's pull through this together. I'll hand it over to Dr. Khaldun now. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. So as of yesterday, we have 58,241 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 5,595 deaths. We are still, as the governor mentioned, on an encouraging trajectory across the state. And while there are regional differences, we are seeing continued general rates of decline in cases and deaths. The northern lower peninsula, the Traverse City area, as well as the upper peninsula, have continued rates of below 5 cases per million people per day. The Lansing region now also has a rate of under 7 cases per million people per day. The Detroit, Kalamazoo, Jackson, and Saginaw regions are all seeing less than 20 cases per million people per day. And the Grand Rapids area stands at 27 cases per million people per day. However, they are in their second straight week of a decline in cases, which is good. And across the state, the percent of tests that are positive remains at about 5% over the past 2 weeks. So while we must continue to monitor the data, because of these positive trends, we are able to move forward on a regional basis with the next phases of the My Safe Start plan. I'm also pleased to announce that today we will be releasing a new and improved MDHHS website, providing more information on both confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19, total antibody tests and diagnostic tests by county, and we are making the information easier to visualize. So I encourage people to continue to go to our website, www.michigan.gov/coronavirus, for the most updated information. We will continue to work to improve our data reporting to make sure we are as accurate and transparent as possible. As we move forward with reopening the economy, I want to stress that the risk of COVID-19 is not gone. People must continue to wear a mask in public. Make sure you're maintaining a 6-foot distance from yourself and others if you are in a public space. Clean frequently, touch surfaces often, and wash your hands. Although the risk levels are going down, it does not mean it has gone away, and so we must remain vigilant. And particularly those who are elderly or have chronic underlying medical conditions like heart disease, diabetes, COPD, or weakened immune system, strongly consider not going out unless you absolutely must. Part of our strategy, as the governor mentioned, for reopening the economy is to expand testing as well. That's really the only way we're going to know where the disease is in our state so we can stop the spread. I'm very excited that over the past week, the state has averaged over 15,000 diagnostic tests per day. To put that in context, during the month of April, Michigan was averaging about 5,000 tests per day, a third of the testing we are doing today. The state is now looking towards our next goal of 30,000 tests per day, a robust level that would help us identify any new cases and swiftly contain the disease. To reach that level, we are strongly encouraging Michiganders to get tested. We've recently expanded our testing criteria, so anyone who has symptoms, no matter how mild, should get a test. Anyone leaving their home for work can get tested, and especially people who are coming into close contact with other people in their jobs, or those who work in settings where there have been outbreaks in the past, should be tested. It's easy to get a test. You don't need a doctor's order before you go, and there are dozens of sites offering testing at no cost to you. There's over 250 testing sites operating in Michigan, so please visit michigan.gov/coronavirus test or call the MDHHS COVID-19 hotline at 1-888-535-6136 to find a test site. Contact tracing is another critical part of our effort to respond quickly to the virus outbreaks and limit the spread of COVID-19 in the state. We've seen strong increases in our capacity of our contact tracing system. We have over 400 people actively working in the state's centralized contact tracing platform. Our contact tracers reach out to every person with a positive test within 24 hours. Our goal is to actually speak with someone at least 98% of the time. But right now, that number is only about 60%. This highlights the fact that we really need everyone to pick up the phone when they are called by a state or local health department staff. When we call you, we will always protect your information, and we will never ask for things like money or credit card information or a social security number. But it is important that we speak with you about your contacts, especially if you have tested positive for COVID-19. We may also be calling you to tell you you've been in close contact with someone with COVID-19 and that you need to get tested or you need to self-quarantine to prevent the spread of the disease to others. So please do answer the phone when we call you so that we can do this important public health work. COVID-19 will be with us for some time, and we have to get used to living with this virus amongst us in the safest way possible. This is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So wear your mask, wash your hands, maintain social distancing, stay home if you are sick, check on your elderly family members, and see if you can go pick up groceries for them so that they don't have to go out themselves to shop. If we all do this well, we'll be able to continue moving forward and not backwards with reengaging the economy. So please remain vigilant and remain patient as we all fight COVID-19 together. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Governor Whitmer, for your commitment to working families and your faith in me to fill this critical position. As the governor said, my name is Sean Egan. I am the Deputy Director for Labor in Michigan's Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity. About 9 months ago, I accepted this opportunity to offer my experience, passion, and lifelong commitment to the working people and families of Michigan to the department. In this role, I primarily oversee my OSHA, workers' comp, MERC, and the wage and hour division. Now, throughout this crisis, these agencies have continued to support Michigan working families and protect their rights and safety in the workplace. I am honored to be appointed as the Director of COVID-19 Workplace Safety and expand my role as we work together, meaning employees and employers, to protect their workers, workplaces, and customers from this disease. Our challenge is not ending, even though we are progressing through the stages of reopening. COVID-19 will remain a challenge in our communities and workplaces for some time, and we need to commit to doing all we can to protecting the health and safety of our workers, employers, and our community. We can do this safely, effectively, and thoughtfully, and we must to ensure that our actions do not spike the transmission of COVID. As I mentioned, the labor agencies and others within the state of Michigan have continued to support these efforts. Our teams at MyOSHA and Leo Communications, working with me and MyOSHA Director Bart Pickleman, have developed great tools that employers can use as we re-engage our economy. Recently, MyOSHA launched COVID Workplace Safety, which is a site dedicated to providing the resources necessary to employees and business. We also launched a hotline for workplace COVID questions for businesses and workers at 855-SAFE-C19. The site includes guidelines for every business, which we call general industry, as well as those specific industry recommendations for those listed in the executive orders. We also have posters, fact sheets, sample preparedness and response plans that incorporate the requirements for low and medium risk workplaces, and more. We will continually update these pieces, so check back often. This tool is intended to make the process of opening easier by providing businesses with the tools they need, while also providing employees with these tools to better understand their role and their employer's obligations. Under the executive order on workplace safety, businesses are required to train workers that covers, at a minimum, workplace infection control practices, the proper use of PPE, steps workers must take to notify businesses or the operation of any symptoms of COVID, a suspected or confirmed diagnosis of COVID, and how to report unsafe working conditions. Because enforcement also includes compliance with CDC and other guidelines, you should review these MyOSHA materials for additional required training components. In addition to those resources, we will continue to coordinate across agencies to ensure both businesses and workers have the resources and protections necessary to move forward. For those business leaders and managers that may be listening, we must remember that workers will also face challenges returning to the workplace, including those that have underlying health conditions, or they're vulnerable to COVID, or they have childcare issues. We must consider that we will need to allow workers to leave and remain out of the workplace if they have symptoms, are exposed, or are caring for someone with COVID. We must remain flexible and act in accordance with the law and common decency. I also want to remind working Michiganders that working for a living is not a passive sport. Their rights and protections afforded to you by law require you to actively participate in their application. If you have concerns, you must engage either by talking with management or filing a complaint with the appropriate agency. Re-engagement is not a return to business pre-COVID. We have a new workplace framework that we must accept, adopt, and reinforce day in and day out. Both workers and managers have new obligations that we've not experienced before. Workers must do their part by adhering to safety and hygiene practices. Employers must be more flexible and nimble than they have previously. And customers must protect their fellow working Michiganders by wearing face coverings if they're medically able and following good hygiene practices when they enter a place of business. As the COVID-19 Workplace Safety Director, I will work to ensure that businesses have the resources and tools necessary to meet these requirements. We'll provide updates as the science and practices change and work to ensure that workers can access the tools and support that they need to move forward. We will continue to work around the clock with our partners in labor, healthcare, and business to protect every Michigan worker to the fullest extent practical. I believe we can do this. I believe we can do it right. And if you'll join me in this commitment as employers, employees, and customers to do our part, I believe we can get back to work. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today, Governor Whitmer. I'm the Executive Director of the Michigan Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus. The Michigan Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus is comprised of 48 destination marketing organizations across the state of Michigan. Our mission is to serve as the advocate for travel, the travel industry, and to provide leadership to our members through education and collaboration. We work collectively with Travel Michigan, and it is our job to promote our great state and the Pure Michigan brand to travelers. Just a few quick facts for you. Since the creation of the Pure Michigan campaign in 2008, the tourism industry has grown. In 2018, our most recent stats that we have nationally from a national board, the tourism industry directly supported 227,497 jobs in Michigan, making travel and tourism the state's second largest industry. Michigan welcomed 124.8 million visitors in 2018, and visitor spending rose 4% to $25.7 billion. This, in turn, generated $2.8 billion in state and local taxes. Convention and visitor bureaus have a large responsibility in their communities. They are the key contacts for all things travel and tourism, from leisure travel to conferences and meetings to large festivals and events. Convention and visitor bureaus are involved at the local level with tasks like planning, promoting, marketing, assisting the public, welcoming visitors, and developing their destinations. As we have seen with other industries, the travel industry revenues have been deeply impacted by the COVID-19 epidemic, especially during our second quarter of this year. State tax revenues have declined due to the loss of our visitor activity, and we know that the tourism industry is going to take a bit longer than some other industries to bounce back. For convention and visitor bureaus, the loss of revenue will continue to negatively impact our marketing efforts for the year 2020 and 2021. as we have additional staff reductions. So that is the bad news. But as Governor Whitmer reported, there is some very good news today. We look forward to the continued reopening of our state. In Region 6 and 8, today's announcement means the travel industry can resume gathering and meetings and events, providing we meet safely with the protocols that are in place. Small meetings, conferences, and weddings will be able to resume at the capacities the governor indicated. 50 for indoor, 250 for outdoor, with again proper social distancing. Larger venues such as stadiums will be able to meet with up to 500 people, again needing those safe protocols in place. These meetings and events help bring families together. They also educate our youth, and they create treasured memories. As Convention and Visitor Bureaus, we pledge to continue to work with the Governor's Office to continue to open safely to the many visitors and guests coming to Michigan and traveling in Michigan. I, along with 300 of my colleagues in the travel industry, have been involved with the Michigan Safe Start Work Tourism Groups. Collectively, we addressed 8 key safety protocols as provided by the Governor's Office for a variety of segments in the travel and tourism industry, including entertainment, accommodations, meetings and conventions, community engagement, agritourism, attractions, casinos, tours, and arts and culture. I would like to thank my colleagues who took this very seriously, put in their time, and had hard work, hard conversations in these work groups as we continued to work collectively to reopen Michigan safely. We were also part of the Safe Meetings in Michigan work group. This group, organized by the Michigan Society of Association Execs, brought together meeting professionals from all over the state of Michigan, from hotels and meeting venues to convention and visitor bureaus and associations. The result was a comprehensive plan to safely open all aspects of our sector of the industry relative to meetings. When we ask people, what have you missed during this epidemic? The answers are very similar. Meeting with other people and travel. There's a pent-up demand for travel, and we know travelers are expecting a level of assurance from the destinations prior to making their decision to travel. The Two Peninsulas, One Pure Michigan campaign is equipped with outdoor experiences from beaches and lakes and trails for social distancing. People are encouraged to get out and explore perhaps smaller, lesser-known destinations. In closing, I would like to encourage you to travel within our own beautiful state this summer and also this fall and winter. Please travel, explore, and enjoy Pure Michigan. Thank you again for this opportunity, Governor.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you, Governor Whitmer. My name is Megan DeWint, and I am the site director at Crooked Tree Arts Center in Petoskey. It is an honor to represent arts and cultural organizations in Northwest Michigan. The arts are important. If you visited our area, you'll know that we have a strong and thriving arts culture. Across the 10-county Northwest Michigan region, nearly 100 nonprofit and public entities provide opportunities to access and participate in music, performing, and visual arts. Arts are a key economic driver in our region. Arts and cultural events provide a strong attraction for both businesses and talent to our Northern Michigan community. Income from tourism is directly connected to arts and cultural opportunities. In addition, arts and cultural organizations and events work to build community identity and vibrancy and help support downtown business districts. These opportunities are important economic assets and drive a significant portion of Northern Michigan's vibrant tourism industry. The arts gives residents a reason to come, stay, and invest. The arts improve our quality of life in Northern Michigan. During the state-mandated closure, Crooked Tree Arts Center went entirely online, offering classes to over 250 dance and music students per week, connecting hundreds of artists, performers, and art lovers via live stream events, and providing hundreds of free isolation creation art kits for families to create art at home. We witnessed firsthand how the arts help us to process and experience the world around us. While providing opportunities for social activities and personal enrichment, the arts also create deep roots in our area. We know that the arts work to inspire and enrich lives. Crooked Tree Arts Center and other arts organizations in our region were able to virtually keep our doors open and maintain our staff thanks to funding from emergency relief grants by state and national organizations, including the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs, the Michigan Humanities Council, Arts Midwest, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The humanities, and also support from local organizations, including the Petoskey Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation, the Charlevoix County Community Foundation, Great Lakes Energy People Fund, and our local Rotary Charities. And last but not least, the generous support and donation from our patrons. However, the need for operational support does not stop when our region is moved to Phase 5. Now, more than ever before, arts organizations and artists in Northern Michigan need continued support at the national, state, and local level. Many of our organizations depend on the dollars brought in by the tourism industry that will continue to be impacted this summer. Patrons and visitors can help support the arts in our region by visiting our galleries, purchasing artwork created by local artists, purchasing tickets to virtual and in-person future concerts and performances, by joining or renewing memberships, and attending or supporting virtual and in-person fundraising events. We are ready to safely welcome guests back into the region's galleries, museums, theaters, and performance spaces. Northern Michigan is known for supporting and celebrating local, regional, and national artists and performers, and we are excited to resume that tradition. On behalf of Crooked Tree Arts Center and all arts and culture organizations in Northern Michigan, thank you.
All right, with that, happy to open it up for a few questions.
All right, I guess with some of the executive orders and the dates that have been put out there with personal care, what are people supposed to take away from whether we're in phase 4, phase 5, moving on to phase 6, when it seems like there's different rules for the regions as we go?
So what I would say is this. Regions 6 and 8 have, from the start, had such a lower number of COVID-19 cases. And we had to watch it very closely because, of course, they have smaller capacity hospitals and public health departments. And so an outbreak could quickly overwhelm a hospital. But because of the historically low and it's been static in that respect, we believe it's safe to move 6 and 8 into region or into phase 5. The remainder of the regions will move into permitting personal services with these strict protocols 2 weeks since the announcement of on Monday. So that's a two-week period of time. We're going to continue to, of course, watch the numbers. If something dramatic happens that changes our trajectory, we may have to revisit this. But at this juncture, we wanted to give people the certainty that those parts of our economy can safely reengage on the 15th, and that will have had 2 weeks in between changes. And that's really the period of time that makes the most sense. Going the next step into fully resuming into phase 5 will take a days, maybe week, maybe a little bit longer after that. But this will look a lot more like normal when we get past the 15th.
Governor, you said it would start to look a lot more normal in the next phase. What do you say to businesses? It sounds like a lot of them will still be under capacity restrictions, which may affect their profitability. Restaurants, I think, are at 50% capacity. Yeah. When do you envision moving more of these businesses to fully like it was normal before?
It's going to be a while, Dave. I mean, I think that's part of the thing about COVID-19. It's still very present. We know that having a lot of people inside in close vicinity of one another is how COVID-19 spreads, and that's what we're trying to avoid. I know everyone's anxious to reengage the economy. Doing so at this diminished capacity is a way to safely start that process, but of course we're going to have to continue to see what it means for our numbers, what it means for where we are with a vaccine. I mean, I think there are a lot of different pieces that will continue to come into play. I would love to keep kind of ratcheting up that engagement even when you're in phase 5 at a lower capacity. Maybe we'll be able to take additional steps, but filling a stadium again probably won't happen until we have a vaccine, and that's going to be a while. And so we're learning to live with COVID-19. Every step of the way depends on people continuing to do their part. Masks, you know, I marched 2 miles and 90 degrees yesterday in Detroit. Masks are uncomfortable. My daughter's got a burn. She went with me from here up. We're going to have to learn to live with masks for a while. And if we're going to congregate and we're going to be together, we need to continue to be safe. And so continuing to turn that dial is dependent on everyone doing their part.
Governor, there is a moratorium. It expires next week, I think, Thursday, on evictions. Any thought to extending that? And also, what about rent hikes? Any thoughts about adding that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part of what you said. You can just repeat it. We'll see.
Okay. The rent hikes, would you consider adding that to the moratorium as reopening goes on?
So the moratorium on evictions is really important, especially when we were in the stay home, stay safe posture, because we wanted people to stay home, and we knew that a lot of people are unemployed, and that still obviously is the case. So This has been an important order. We're continuing to review what potential next steps may look like. We've not made decisions. It is effective through the end of next week. I would anticipate, over the next few days, we will be determining what it looks like and how we continue to provide some relief, but also start to re-engage on all fronts. So we'll have more announcements in the coming days.
Over the past few weeks, we've seen protests. You've been telling people to stay safe while out there. Has there been any, through increased contact tracing, anything to lead that it has been spread from some of these protests we saw a few weeks ago and then possibly what has been going the last few weeks or the last week?
I'll start, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Jay to give you the little more insight, but certainly we're going to always be concerned when people are congregating and not wearing masks, when they are, touching one another. We know that that's how COVID-19 spreads, is not wearing masks, especially if people are projecting, right? We know that when a church service where a choir was projecting, the whole choir got sick. That's how COVID-19 spreads, and that's why wearing masks is so important. I participated in a march yesterday. We couldn't always observe 6 feet apart, but we were wearing masks the whole time. We had ample use of hand sanitizer. We never shook hands. We didn't high-five or hug the way that we usually would greet one another. But I thought that it was an important moment to show my support and show a unified leadership out of the executive office of the governor, and the lieutenant governor and I joined that. With regard to what has the impact been of these protests, and are we seeing any connections in terms of COVID-19 cases across the state, I'm going to ask Dr. Jay to come and address that part.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I absolutely stand in solidarity with those who are marching for racial justice and against police brutality. Right now, we are certainly asking the question when we get new cases as far as who have they been around, and we're asking, have they been in any groups, and have they been participating in any protests? And at this point, again, it's still a little early to be able to see a trend. At this point, I don't know of any cases that are associated with that, but we will have to continue to monitor at that. The most important thing is, as the governor mentioned, doing it safely. So wearing a mask, we're recommending that people, at least if you're marching, that you march with people who you know, so that we can get their contacts if we need to. We recommend that people, of course, in addition to wearing a mask, you might want to use a noisemaker as opposed to yelling. So there are things, and there's kind of things across the social media that talk about how you can safely march and protest, but we'll continue to monitor the data.
Governor, you mentioned your congressional testimony this week. Are you prepared to also testify to the Republican-led legislature? I believe a request was made this week.
So at this point, we are in a legal battle, and I don't think that testifying in front of the committee makes a lot of sense, so I won't be accepting the invitation.
This will be the last question.
Governor, in your congressional testimony, you are asked how much money, COVID-19 money, Michigan has already spent. Do you know that number yet, and what on?
Yeah, so Congressman Wahlberg asked a lot of questions, which I encourage him to feel free to do that when he's home in Michigan as well. I think that, what I did share with the committee was that we're having ongoing discussions with the Republican-led legislature. I encouraged Congressman Wahlberg to talk to his colleagues in the Michigan legislature. We have had full, I think, reporting of all of the different dollars that have gone out the door, but also where we're hopeful that they will. But that is, I think, important that we find some common ground with our legislature. And so while I've been given a number, I've got authority to make certain expenditures, I am trying to make sure that we find some common ground on this, but also on budget decisions that we're going to have to make going forward.
Right. Do you have the number?
I will have Bobby follow up with you so that we can share everything that I shared with the committee so you've got it in front of you. Yeah, I don't have it in this, but we'll do that. All right, great. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you so much for doing your part. I hope that you have a nice weekend, that you get outside and enjoy some fresh air, and that every time you're going to the grocery store or you're out with others, that you're wearing your mask and washing your hands frequently and taking hand sanitizer with you.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.